Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Tragic story this morning. A lurid string of headlines and corpses have dominated the news on New York's Long Island over the last week or so. The remains of 10 young women believed, although there is supposedly the remains of a child possibly reported as well, all been found on the beach on Long Island. Some believe the remains are from people who were former prostitutes or were Craigslist escorts, as described in one report. And relatives of some of those victims have been taunted by phone calls from someone claiming to be the serial murderer. There's nothing new about murder or the vulnerability of women in the sex trade, but this case may highlight some new hazards for women and some new grisly opportunities for would-be serial killers. For more on this case, we have Edward Conlin, direct detective for the New York Police Department and author of Red on Red. That's a novel. Good morning, Detective.
Good morning.
And also with us here in the studio is Rachel Lloyd, author of the memoir Girls Like Us. She's executive director and founder of GEMS, Girls Educational and Mentoring Services. Rachel, thanks for coming into the studio.
Thank you.
When you see the reports on this horrible Long Island case and note that the details of at least four of the individuals appear to be related to their work in the sex trade, what kind of vulnerability do you see for women caught up in this net of sex for money, but also in the internet age where people seem to be more anonymous, less out there and faceless in a time of so much trade on the internet?
I think I'm sadly not that surprised. I've actually been pleasantly surprised, I guess is the word, by how much the media has really kind of taken this on, and hopefully this is a discussion that we can continue to have that will highlight these dangers. A Canadian commission found that women in the sex industry are 40 times more likely to be murdered than their non-prostituted counterparts, you know, taken away for race, economics, etc. Another study found that they are 130 times more likely to be murdered. So the vulnerability of being in the commercial sex industry is high regardless. And serial killers target women in the sex industry because they know that they're not seen as real victims.
What about the doorway into the trade? Is it easier? Is it lower? Is the bar lower? Is there something about the availability of online sort of dating, et cetera, and pornography, an invitation to being a part of this industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think the accessibility of being able to just go online and buy sex like you would buy in, I don't know, a pair of socks from Macy's, right? I mean, you can just order it, I think has really changed how the sex industry operates. And as you said, makes it more anonymous and ultimately more dangerous.
Rachel Lloyd is the author of Girls Like Us. She's the founder of GEMS, Girls Education and Mentoring Services. Edward Conlin, what strikes you most about this case on Long Island? And how do you think this whole vulnerability that Rachel describes has changed in the last generation?
Well, it shows the isolation of these victims in that 10 of them can disappear without many people knowing. This is a lot of bodies. This is a very, very high body count. We don't see too many things like this. And these women, a lot of them have substance abuse problems. They're isolated from their families. They're a very difficult to reach population for law enforcement.
And do you see in the suspect and the horrible details that the family members have actually been taunted by someone calling them on the phone? And again, we don't know if it's the actual perp or not. Do you see anything in this particular case that suggests that, in fact, the internet and the information platforms are a way for murderers to take greater opportunity?
Well, I mean, cases like this have been going on long before the internet. I mean, you can look at Jack the Ripper. I mean, these women weren't using computer services when they were murdered in London 100 years ago. I don't know if there's too much to be made of that. It certainly makes access, it affects access, but these are older pathologies.
But there's something about the anonymity of our age, both on the victim side and on the perpetrator side, that seems very 21st century.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's also more public. I mean, you can make connections to strangers all over the country through the media, digital or otherwise, in a way that you couldn't a generation ago.
And leave a trail behind you. You know, Rachel, I'm wondering, one of the things that concerns you is the fact that it sometimes takes a very long time for police to take cases seriously when it involves a sex trade worker. And I'm wondering what you think is at the heart of that. Do you think that police departments are perhaps seeing this as the death of a criminal, that they just view a someone in sex trade as the same way they'd view any other criminal, and therefore they kind of don't take it quite as seriously?
Yeah, I mean, I think, right, I think the cops on Long Island are clearly working really, really hard right now.
Right. Yeah, very.
An awesome very job. But, right, is that representative? And, you know, as the officer just mentioned, I mean, this is a high body count. If it was one, two, would we see the same attention? And I think the media has a part to play too, right? I mean, the cases that get priority in the media, more resources get put towards them. Right. I mean, I think it's as a society, we don't see these women and girls as real victims. We see them as criminals, as asking for it, as being out there, and that's kind of what happens. Serial killers know that too.
Before we go, how did you get out? How did you keep from being buried alive?
I was really lucky and came across a church that kind of opened its doors and its heart to me, and fought really hard to kind of make my way out. And, I mean, you know, we work with young women and girls all the time who are, you know, in dangerous situations every day.
So the next victim of this Long Island killer is, you know, just one sort of helping hand away from perhaps getting out of the vulnerability that you know very well because of your own history.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, right, these are people. I mean, they're daughters and sisters and cousins. I mean, these are real...
Sometimes mothers.
Mothers. I mean, these are real women and girls who had lives and who, right, I mean, this is a long line of trauma and abuse in their lives, and this is kind of the sad culmination of that, but with support and services could go on to do all kinds of things, and so we'll never know now.
So two calls one of these women who might be a victim could get. One could be from you, and one could be from somebody on Craigslist, right? What would you say to one of these girls?
I would say that there's hope, and that even though it feels like the rest of society has kind of cast you aside, that it doesn't have to be like that, and that there are people there to support you and help you.
Edward Conlin, is this case going to get solved, do you think?
Well, if it's going to get solved, it's going to be through a woman who has survived an encounter with him, someone who either got roughed up or was even left mm-hmm. with a funny feeling. And those are the women who have to talk to the police. That's unfortunately the most likely way that it's going to happen.
And that's the rest of the story there from Edward Conlin, detective for the New York Police Department, author of Red on Red. He talked with us from New York City about this Long Island case, 10 bodies discovered, at least according to the reports. Rachel Lloyd is the author of Girls Like Us, founder of GEMS, Girls Education and Mentoring Services, a nonprofit organization that supports girls and young women victimized by the commercial sex industry. Rachel and Edward, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We want to give special thanks today to some of the people behind the scenes of The Takeaway. Mary Harris, David Fizikas, and Jen Poyan all collaborated to bring you the segment on this case on Long Island. You can get more information on pretty much anything you hear here on the show at our website, thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.